mention once again the dates of October 5 through 20. Bob, if you could fix a paper, just a half sheet, giving us the title of the series and some of the information, the nights. We're not going every night of the week. Is that true?
No. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes, it would be every night.
Yeah. Oh, it's every night. All right. Okay. So give us some information on a half sheet. And then if you would, please, produce enough of them so that our members can have them to give to their friends and neighbors, uncles, aunts, cousins. We're not going to be partial in this matter. We'd like to have you invite people to come so we can share the message for the end of the world with our people. Okay. Let's ask God's blessing as we open His Word. Heavenly Father, from thy high and lofty place, we bid thee come. Minister to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We've entitled our message this morning, The Image of God. Now, there's been a lot of conversation with regards to what that image is. What does the image of God constitute? I'd like to suggest that this morning, the image of God is threefold. And we're going to look at that just now. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. So the image of God applies both to male and female. God's crowning act was to bring man into existence, man and woman. In fact, it is said that man or woman is twice made. That's why she's so delicate. You see, God made man first, and then he took a ready-made rib and made woman. So she's made twice. Somebody should have said amen.
Amen.
Even the animals wondered as God produced this living creature from the dust of the earth. Man arose from the earth with the power of God, under the power of God, to worship his creator.
Amen.
That was his mindset. That's how God created him. And as we look at our world today, what a tragedy this crowning act of God has produced. Relatedness and relationship. Notice in Genesis 5:3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Surely we can glean from this a relatedness, father and son, and a relationship because of father and son. Now, beloved, the Bible says that Adam, which was the son of God, also held relatedness and relationship to his creator. So the image of God. It is profitable to see the image then of God in relationships which constitutes man's essential existence. These relationships are threefold. Number one, image and likeness pertain to man's relatedness to God. We live in an age today where the men say, people say, number one, God is dead. Number two, I don't know who this God is. How can you know if you've never seen it?
Ever.
And all other types of excuses for the relatedness that they automatically have to their creator. Secondly, The image may be seen as man was created to image God in his relationship to others. To others. We have a grave responsibility there, beloved. Look in our day. People dislike people because of their color, because of the way they dress, for any reason. Sin has taken its toll, and this relationship to others has greatly suffered. And then thirdly, man was to image God in his dominion over the earth. The created order was to be subject to man as man himself was subject to God. So there you have the threefold images, or that which constitutes the image: relatedness, relationship to others, and dominion. We've definitely lost, to a great extent, our dominion. I know when I lived in Africa, there were signs as you would enter the game part: keep your windows closed, don't feed the animals. And of course, there were those who would go into those parks who knew better than the signs. And ultimately, particularly at the entrance, you have these baboons. It's sort of a welcoming party. They jump up on the car. So the natural human tendency, roll the window down and give them something. And some of them came back like this, you know, because those baboons have very sharp teeth and canines longer than a dog. So, and that wasn't all that happened in those parks. People were, they learned by experience. So the relatedness, first, being truly human in his image means being related to God. Whatever denies man's relationship to God dehumanizes him. We are inescapably related to God.
Amen.
And look how man today has gone to such lengths as to disengage, to disassociate, to say, I'm not related to him. The Jews said it this way: we have no king but Caesar. We're not related to that man. Relatedness. Man in God's image refers to man's prime reason for existence and his prime responsibility to reveal God's glory in his thinking, his speech, and his actions. You know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together? Peter had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. The length of a college education. When it came to the night of the betrayal, he tried to disassociate. He tried to unrelate. But young lady came up to him that third denial and said, I know you are one of his because your speech. He'd hung around Jesus long enough to take on this semblance or the resemblance of the speech of his creator, his attitudes of his creator. And she said, your speech gives you away. Your speech betrays you. Thus, beloved, we find that the relatedness, being truly human in his image, secondly, means being related to others. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, think just a moment. What does that do with the idea of celibacy, which is so widespread among a certain group of people? Celibacy, not marrying. What does that do with the idea of being a hermit? What does that do with the idea, and by the way, these are man's idea, because the Bible says, God said, man should not be alone.
Amen.
Now, beloved, what does that do with these associations that have institutions where either men or women go to be alone? to be by themselves. They say to dedicate themselves to prayer. God said, but then man contradicts. Man overshadows, at least he tried to overshadow God's word. And so the Lord said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him an helper fit for him. Man is not truly man in himself. He needs woman to supplement and complement him. Man is a being of community.
Amen.
I didn't hear any ladies say amen. I was trying to compliment them, see? Man needs woman to supplement or complete him. No, there's one more. Sister Bushnell, now be still. But it is truth. That's how God has made us. God had made a man, gave him dominion, and said it's not good that he's alone. He needs a helpmate. Poor man needs a helpmate. But that's the way it's structured, beloved. And then the relatedness would have continued had Adam continued his position as the head of God's creative act. Relatedness continues thirdly. Being truly human means being related to the created order. God said, let him have dominion. We cannot live apart from the world of nature. All right? From it, we receive air, we receive water, we receive food, we receive light. We are subject to the same laws of gravity and of motion, molecular action, chemistry, and genetics, which govern the rest of the created order. Yet man is unique in this creation, in the created order, because God intended him to have dominion over it all and to look after it as God's delegated steward. Look what we've done. We've taken the elements God gave us. We've made hydrogen bombs. We've made atomic bombs. And we dropped them on people. Let me go back. We have made napalm. I had a friend I went to school with who was hit in the face with one of those napalm bombs. Now this young man grew up in the church, but he was big and bold now. He left the church. He was out killing people now. But one of those bombs hit him in the face. He put his face in the dirt and buried the napalm. But you see, you can't put that stuff out.
That's right.
And he began, oh, he said, God, if you help me, I give you back my life. The fire went out. He's a minister today.
Amen.
He's a minister today. But he's got a lot of scar tissue on his face. If you ask him, he'll tell you. I was in a foxhole and a bomb hit me. The napalm would not go out. The scars, he'll show you his leg, where they grafted skin from his leg and different parts of his body to rebuild his face. Yeah? Man was put in control of the created order. But he has defied his God. He has taken the substances and manipulated them. Even the food substances. Rather than leave them natural, man tries to improve upon them. And look at the problems we have because of that so-called improvement. Revelation 11:18 says, God is going to destroy those who destroy the world. He told you to take care of it, he says, to man, but you've chosen to destroy it. So ultimately, beloved, if we were to boil it all down, we are mind. You see, if I cut off your arm and replace it with even someone else's arm, you're still the same person. If I cut off your legs, as many of our brethren from the war have come back without legs, and they have artificial legs put on, they're still the same person. And then the other day I saw such a tragic thing, a man who came back whose face had to be totally restored, but he was still the same person. They even asked his wife, what do you think about his restoration? She said, whatever it is, he's still my man.
Amen.
I know him from his personality, from his speech, from his conduct. And where does that come from? From the mind. And so, beloved, we're told what we need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends upon the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You either exercise it for or against your Creator. You have the power of choice. You're not a robot, but you're human, and you have that great power. Man's choice and its results. Man chose to go contrary to his God. Come with me to Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter.
Amen.
I'm reading it verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot and from and unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with anointment. In other words, beloved, man has suffered total degradation, from purity to pollution, from dominion to slavery. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion. Now, there are some areas where dominion can still be seen. Man defies the laws of gravity and goes into outer space. He still manages to have some dominion. But where it really counts, dominion over himself, he has gravely failed and continues to fail. That's why the mercy of God lingers. Well, how damaging was sin? Sin is a denial of reality. We come from the hand of God, but man says no. Man says we come from the mud. You see, if you are the product of spontaneous combustion, if you're the product of something coming up out of the mud and developing legs and walking on all four and then getting up and walking on two and then putting on a suit. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? And then putting on a suit, see? Well, if you were that, you have no responsibility to anybody. Already, God is out of the picture. And you are responsible to yourself. And thus, you follow those passions that are dominant in human nature. That's why you have a world and a situation as it is today, passing on AIDS to others. Someone said San Francisco is the only city you can go in and find AIDS on every corner. So sin is a denial of realities. When God made man, he was perfect and upright. Although he had substantial reality, his gifts could have meaning only in the setting of his God-given relationships, his relatedness to God, his relationship with others, and his dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing. Genesis tells us that man was only dust. Still is only dust. Some think they are gold dust, but the fact is they're only dust. And what a marvel, what a God we serve, who can take the dust of the earth and create a human being. With all of the molecular divisions and genius. I took a science class as an elective. Almost had to drop out. But it was anatomy and physiology. The anatomy was all right. You can study the bones and memorize them. But the physiology, where you trace the blood flow from the heart, and we did this on rats. You trace the blood flow from the heart out to the extremities of the body. It is a marvel. God put a pump right there. It's called a heart. And it pumps blood, life, throughout the whole system. Thus God made that system out of dust. So in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life taught man that he had no life in himself. Surely this was a lesson book of his vital relationship to his creator. His creator produced a tree, and he could freely eat of that tree and continue his life. His life was dependent not on something in him, but on something outside of him. I want you to get that point, beloved. Because in the new creation, our life is dependent not what's in us, but what's outside of us. The Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the entrance of sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon how many? All men, for all have sinned. So there is a note of solidarity, because we're all linked together in this humanity factor. What took place at the head of humanity has passed through the length of humanity. Thus, Adam passes his nature on to humanity. Passing on our heritage, Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. As soon as they are born, this iniquity passed on from the head down through the extremities of the human family, beloved, comes to view. Notice, they go astray as soon as they are born. You don't need to teach children how to fib, how to take things that don't belong to them, how to fuss and fight over other things, their toys perhaps. Notice in the picture, even the dog recognizes that he's a bad dog. And so deceitfulness of heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can control it? You look at your world today, beloved, it's out of control. Amen? It is totally out of control. There's only one who can control it. Only one who can know it.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the relatedness refused by the human race, expressed by the Jewish nation. John 19:15. We have no king but Caesar. This creates a God-sized problem. How will he restore the loss of relatedness, of relationship? Yes, and of dominion. How does God do it? Some think, well, you've got to be born again. Well, that's part of the truth. But he doesn't start with you. He starts outside of you. He gives us a new head. What he does is he brings back the one who created in the beginning all things, but he brings him back as our new head. Our total unlikeness to God, although God's image is almost obliterated, marred, and defaced, man is still God's creature and bears his superscription. There's still some semblance here. As I mentioned, man is able to overcome gravity and get out into the beyond. There are still some relationships that people establish. regardless of skin color, regardless of nation, regardless of background. There are still those who can bridge the gap and say, well, hey, we're related, you know. And there are still pictures and semblances of relatedness, relationship, and dominion. God's answer then to the problem of our total unlikeness to Him, recreate the human race. Just start over again. How does He do it? This is exactly what He does in and through Jesus Christ. That baby born in Bethlehem was the new head of the new race. He's the new creation. Notice the language, beloved, of the angel as the angel speaks to Mary. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, now notice the language and think of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Notice as we read this one, Luke 1:35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing. No other baby has ever been called that holy thing. Only one. At his beginning, at his birth, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So God starts a new race of people in Jesus Christ. Notice the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now that statement has always, raised the hair on my head. Well,
amen.
It has caused. That's right, amen. Now you understand me, don't you, brother? Thank you. Yes. The image of the invisible God. And then Hebrews says, He is the express image of His person. And so here God reestablishes the image that man lost. The image that it was given to man in the man, Christ Jesus. Christ has not denied relatedness to us. He exhibits relationship and dominion. Let me just stop with dominion. You remember when He came here? He exercised our lost dominion over the fish of the sea. Peter, go down and the first fish you catch, reach into his mouth and do what? Take out your taxes. That's what they were worried about. They came to Jesus and said, listen, they're wondering, are we going to pay our taxes? Where are we going to get it? He said, go down and catch the first fish. He said, throw in your hook. I'd have said, throw in your net. You know, maybe catch a minnow. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Throw in your hook. The first fish you catch, take out the taxes. How did He know it? He was exercising our lost dominion.
Amen.
See? So there, beloved, there's no question there. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That speaks of a love that is almost unfathomable. That speaks of a love while we were yet sinners. He loved us. God so loved us. Gave us His only begotten Son. Christ is man as God meant man to be. Christ is man. There have only been two real men in the human history. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, who is he? He is the Lord from heaven. The second man. Now, notice, beloved, the first man had no shrapnel of sin in him. And I use those words carefully. The shrapnel, you know, is the bomb that explodes and the metal goes in you. Well, in the garden, there was an explosion of sin, of disobedience, and it went into human nature and lodged there. Sometimes when our men come home, they have shrapnel in them, and it cannot be removed because it's by a vital organ or one thing. They can live with it. Sin has not been removed. even after conversion. Huh? The tree is left there. The sin is left there. Daily we must choose between the tree of life or the tree, the forbidden tree. Thus, beloved, Adam, the first man, Christ, the second man. Christ explains to the first man the cause and the damage and the remedy. It will take the cross to restore. We then remain preternatural. I want you to look at the word. You can look it up in the dictionary. Oh, but you don't have to do it. I'm going to tell you what it means. Preternatural. What is it? Our condition through sin has become preternatural. That is unnatural. There was nothing unnatural about Adam. He was made perfect without sin. And the power that restores us must be supernatural, else it has no value. There is but one power that can break the hold of evil from the hearts of men, and that is the power of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. His grace alone can enable us to resist and subdue the tendencies of our fallen nature. So Christ is brought into judgment. He goes to judgment because you have to go to judgment. There was a question that was asked. Is this your king? So we ask it again today. Is this your king?
Amen.
Wait a minute now. Look at him. He's wearing a crown, but it's a crown of thorns. He's got no robe on. He's stripped bare. His hands are tied. He wants to give the picture that he can do nothing for you. So I ask you again, is this your king?
Amen.
Are you related to him?
Amen.
You see, this is the confession. What does Paul say? If we confess with the mouth and believe in the heart,
Amen.
Jesus is our Lord, huh? All right? Do you have a relationship with him? Isn't that the key? Do you have a relationship with him? They asked the crowd, what shall we do with this man? And if they ask it again to the world, what do you suppose the world would say? Well, he, despising the shame, endured the cross. Every time we see a picture of Christ, he has that loincloth on. But they didn't crucify him that way in Rome. They crucified them stripped bare. Here is the king of the universe who said, if I were hungry, I would not ask you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And yet, on the cross, he has nothing. Is this your king?
Amen.
He tasted death for every man. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. I put Psalms 8, 4, and 5 because it says man was made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So he comes to the level of our need. He suffers. And yet he overcomes the greatest enemy, the enemy of death. There we have a new man. Let's go to our Bibles. Isaiah 13, 12 tells us this. I'm reading from the King James Version. It may read differently in others. Isaiah 13:12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold. Yea, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing. Notice, the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. A woman shall compass a man. How long does it take a woman to compass a man? 9 months. 9 months. then Jesus was produced. Amen?
Amen.
Now notice it says in 2 Corinthians, as a result of all of this, notice 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Christ is the new creation. Thus, it is a matter of choice then, isn't it? To be a part of the new creation. God is not forcing anyone to go to heaven. You don't want to go? You want to stay with the stuff that you have here? Then, beloved, it's your choice. The freedom of choice.
Amen.
It is our choice to become a part of this new creation by accepting Him. Related or recreated, the relatedness, relationship, dominion, it's all restored. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says there we are recreated from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Thus, beloved, God will take care of the recreation process in each of us if we do our part by accepting what He has to give. Thus, we are mine. There must be a conscious decision on our part to be one with Christ. He's done the work. That's why He says, come unto me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's done the work. He lived the life that God demanded to fulfill the law of God. He died the death that the law demanded for all the wages of sin. The work is done. We must make a choice. Are we going to be for Him or against Him? It's the power of choice. We can come as we are, but He won't leave us as we are. He will take us from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, whatever our background, whatever our problems. He says, come unto me. Let's get together and work things out. Huh? And He will take us and make us new in Himself. He will give us the Holy Spirit of reconciliation, and put on us the robe. You see, the robe represents everything He's done. The robe represents, in fact, we're told it's a robe woven in the loom of heaven in which there are no threads of human devising. So everything is restored in the concept of righteousness by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ brings reconciliation, brings restoration. So this morning, beloved, if you have felt yourself adrift in any dimension, He's welcoming you back. He's saying, let's restore all things. Let's walk together. So the hand of invitation is given to you. And as we sing this prayer song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And if you feel the need of restoration, of being restored complete, you've never made the decision before, but you'd like to make it anew this morning, we're going to ask you to slip out of the road where you are, come here to the front, give me your hand, and give Christ your heart. Page 330. Let's stand together.
Take my hand.
Heavenly Father, thank you for that powerful message from Art Bushnell, our pastor. Be with us that we will take on your image, that we will take on that image, and that your character can be reflected in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Can we meet with the elders before going to the back? Let's meet with the elders here in the back room, please, after our dismissal.